You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
Hi everyone, my name is Avneet and joining us today on the phone line from Auckland in New Zealand is Dr. Malvinder Benz. Dr. Benz, welcome to SBS Punjabi.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. Real privilege to be on your show.
Well, Dr. Malvinder is neuroscientist at the University of Auckland Centre for Brain Research, focusing currently on brain inflammation and pathology in conditions including the Huntington's and the Alzheimer's disease. And she also runs a charity that's dedicated to supporting, educating and advocating for young New Zealanders impacted by the disease. So tell us, what inspired you to venture into brain health?
There's a variety of reasons why I ended up in this field. I actually have, on both my maternal and paternal sides of the family, have been impacted personally by brain disease. So I've had grandparents succumb to the effects of dementia. And so personally, I've had an association with brain disorders in my own family. And I've actually met many people in our own community that have been impacted by dementia and Alzheimer's disease, for example, as well as Parkinson's disease. And this is in the sick community. So it really just goes to show that really we can't really stigmatize any neurodegenerative condition to belong to one particular ethnic group or cultural group and religious group. But for me, it's the fact that everyone is affected. It doesn't spare you of your creed, color, or race. So that's part of the reason why I started developing an interest in the brain. And I was really fortunate when I started off my studies in science to have some really influential lecturers. And they're now my mentors and have actually become really instrumental in my career. So that's part of the reason why I ended up in it, actually. It was personally being affected.
Mm-hmm. So tell us about your connection with India.
So I've been to India now twice, and both times I felt quite a spiritual connection with Punjab, actually. I don't have any direct family relatives living in Punjab, but if we were to think about where my family comes from, they're from a place called Hoshiarpur. Mm-hmm. And I'm yet to travel to that area of Punjab. I've had the beauty of going to the Golden Temple and visiting Harmandir Sahib, and that was a really fantastic experience. But actually, the bulk of my connection to the Indian community has actually resulted in building up relationships in New Zealand. And I didn't really realize how massive our Indian community was until I started visiting a lot of Sikh temples and sharing some of my research with people in our own community, because I actually realized that there is a lack of awareness of conditions like Alzheimer's and wider dementias within our own community. And that's when I realized, wow, we're actually got a huge Indian diaspora in New Zealand.
How difficult was it for you to create a niche in the sector, and what sort of challenges did you encounter, especially initially in your career?
Traditionally, I think in the field of science, technology, engineering and medicine, there is a shortage of women in general. And I do think that comes a little bit from our culture. Perhaps back in the olden days, women were not traditionally encouraged into these fields. For me, I've been really, really fortunate that I've grown up in a family that's been quite liberal, and they've said, you know, do whatever you want. And I was really fortunate to just have the opportunity to go to university. There were no constraints on, for example, me having to fulfill one type of stereotypical job.
So, Malvinder, if I had to ask you, is there an advice that you'd want to dole out to the young Indian migrants here in Australia or probably in New Zealand? Is there a mantra of success that you believe in?
Look, I think that all of us need to have an internal drive. All of us need to be motivated to do the research before we decide to embark on any particular career. I think within our own community, we're very prone to rely on hearsay evidence. So-and-so told me that it's best to go for this job or best to go for this course because their so-and-so relative did it. I think that mentality definitely needs to change. I think it's really, really important to do heavy background research into any institute, any course, any job that you're applying for, and not just Googling it, actually looking at credible resources around that area, reading different articles, and doing full research before making your own decision. And I think sometimes in our community, we tend to want to take the easy way out and go for the fastest way to accelerate towards that career. And that doesn't necessarily work in our best interests, if you get what I mean.
Mm-hmm. And you've also co-founded a charity dedicated to advocating for young New Zealanders impacted by HD. So tell us how important or critical it is, to create significant awareness around this issue, especially concerning brain health.
Yes, I think we think about disease only affecting the immediate person who shows their symptoms. But what I've learned from my time as a researcher is that for every person that has a disease, you've got the next of kin that may be at risk of the disease, perhaps if it's got a genetic component. But at the same time, you've got, the people who are caring for you, whether that be your spouse, whether that be your child or an uncle or an aunt or even a grandparent. You have all of these people are around you who are impacted by the disorder. And the reason why I decided to start a charity around this is because I was listening to the families that I was working for. And I quickly realized that we have limitations with what we're able to do in our immediate jobs. Like, for example, for me as a medical researcher, I spend a lot of time in the laboratory studying tissue specimens. But in this case, what the people were actually asking for is for their young people, their children, to be heard and to be supported and to be advocated for. So I thought, okay, I have the knowledge of the condition that these young people are at risk of. Mm-hmm. Why don't we just set up a charitable organization so that we can start supporting these kids in a different capacity beyond our professional capabilities? So that's how it all started for me. And I think if anybody wants to do any sort of seva or support for any community of any kind, don't be constrained by the fact that such an organization may not exist. If something doesn't exist, it's really our opportunity to be able to fill that space and do something meaningful for others without expecting anything in return.
Thank you, Dr. Bans, for taking out the time and speaking with SBS Punjabi.
It's a huge privilege. Thank you so much for having me.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.